welcome you to an exciting and informative lecture compiled from two different lectures given by Dr. Gary Young at the Toronto Health Expo. And now let's join the Toronto Health Expo as they introduce Dr. Gary Young.
Now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you Dr. Gary Young. Gary Young has a master's degree in nutrition and a doctorate in naturopathy. He is the leading researcher of aromatherapy in North America. He's also an author of his own book, Aromatherapy, The Essential Beginning. He organically grows many of his own plants and has developed his own unique form of total chemical-free steam distillation. He has traveled worldwide in his search for the secrets of longevity and health and is dedicated to bringing the knowledge and power of essential oils back into today's world. Please let us welcome Dr. Gary Young.
Thank you. How many of you are new to the world of essential oils? How many here know all there is to know about essential oils? Not quite. If I were to pass around a bottle of oil, who here could smell it and tell me the primary constituent in it? And the percentage? No? Well, then I could sell you anything, couldn't I? And that's what's happening. Yes, if you don't know how to smell an oil, and you don't know the chemical compounds and the percentages that they should be present in, then how do you know what you're getting? And I had a real wonderful experience in 1993 in Egypt. I was there evaluating some oils from a producer, and he said, well, which oil would you like to smell? And I said, I want basil oil. And he said, okay. He says, any particular chemotype? Now, what does that mean, chemotype? Well, we would call it species, all right? So I said, I want the methyl shavacol. So he snapped his finger to his hired man, and he walked out, came back with an oil, with a piece of paper, dipped it in the oil, handed across the desk to me, and I smelled it, and I said, no, this is not the basil that I'm looking for. I said, this is a nice basil, but it's not the one I'm looking for. Snaps his finger again, his hired man goes out, brings another container of basil back, dips it in, hands it to me, and I smell it, and I said, no, this is not the basil I'm looking for. He said, well, what's wrong with this basil? I said, this is basil eugenol. I want methyl shavacol. So he goes and brings another bottle and comes back and hands it to me, and I said, mm-mm, this is basil linalool. And by then, the smile lines in his face were changing. So the guy goes and brings another bottle in. He dips the paper in and hands it to me, and I smell it, and this is nice. This is 87% methyl shavacol, and his chin hit his desk. And he says, no one in America can smell oils like that. But we did business. 2 months ago, I was in Spain with another oil broker and distillator. He handed me a bottle across the desk. He said, what do you think of this oregano? I took the lid off and I run it under my nose and I said, this is French oregano. It's only 64% carvacrol. And his chin hit the desk. He opened up his portfolio, turned to the GC analysis on the oregano, and I missed it by 0.3%. And then he handed me frankincense, and I told him how much alpha pinene was in the frankincense. And his mouth hit the floor again. It's important to know, and I will tell you why it's important to know later. But that's a study that I've chosen to be involved in for the past 15, 16 years, and that is learning essential oils because, number one, they're the missing link of modern medicine. And without question, they will and have returned to support the nations and bring the nations together in health and prosperity and longevity into the 21st century. It is a whole new science. It has evolved. But in the Bible, it talks about, in the first chapter of Genesis, about how the herbs of the field shall be our medicine. And it was in the beginning, and it will be in the end. And many of us feel and recognize that we may be living in what has been referred to as end times. And here we see the full circle coming back to us of a time of pharmaceuticals, drugs, and chemicals not working but causing tremendous side effects. And so it's time for us to look towards that which God is giving us and which He has commissioned and ordained for the healing and the well-being of mankind. Also equally fascinating is the fact that it has a tremendous science behind it. This is not something that is folklore. This is not something that has been, as it has been, looked at and viewed at, New Age. And these things are evolving because of our desires looking for answers and trying to find answers. You can go to your owner's operator's manual and you can find all kinds of references to essential oils. But let's go back to the beginning so I may lay a foundation for those of you who are new and those who are here investigating and asking questions. What are essential oils? In the beginning, medicine was first brought into existence through the Egyptian people. How long ago? Some believe 5,000 B.C., some believe 100,000 B.C. I have no authority in that area to tell you how old the world is or how old people are or when it all began. What I can tell you that has been documented, that the oldest writings that are known of that have been translated are 25 B.C. pertaining to essential oils. Now, there are carvings and writings and drawings on the cliff walls in France that have been carbon dated 10,000 B.C., the Egyptian hieroglyphics and reliefs, that's a controversy that's dated back anywhere from 35 B.C. to 100,000 B.C. So it's an individual feeling and an individual belief on how old this may be. It is pretty well accepted, however, that the Egyptian people were the founders of medicine. They were the founders of essential oils, and they started the use of oils as medicine. And that was an interesting study because I believed all along that our herbs were our first medicine. But according to the writings and the teachings and the translations of the Egyptian people, that the Egyptian people found very crude ways to extract the oil out of plants because they use it for fragrancing, because they believed that the more fragrant they were, the more pleasing they were to their gods. And so they adorned themselves with crude oils from the plants to create that acceptance. And what was interesting, that the peasants and the slaves noticed how that the pharaohs and the kings and the queens and the priests and the priestesses using essential oils didn't have diseases. And diseases were quite prevalent in Egypt, and particularly diabetes. And so they started to take the parent to that oil, the plant material, and steep it and make tea and drink it. And that's when the herbs evolved into use by the peasants and the slaves in Egypt. And so we can say that essential oils were without question the first medicine of man. Let's look at the blood. Because the blood of the human and the oil of the plant have the same purpose. If you were to take the blood out of the human body, what would be left? Just fiber. Just a fiber material. Life would cease to exist. You take the essential oil out of the plant and life ceases to exist. In the plant you have two fluids. You have chlorophyll and essential oil. In the body, you have two basic fluids, lymph fluid and blood. You have three major compounds in the human cells. You have three major compounds in essential oil. The same three compounds are hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen. You have two more secondary compounds that contribute to the makeup of the cell of man and of essential oils, and that's nitrogen and sulfur. And so out of those five compounds, they're identical in plant and in man. In the human body, you have to have protein in order to create cells. In the plant, you have to have protein to create cells. It's really interesting that when we look at the plant, how it makes essential oil, it takes the nutrients out of the soil, up through the plant. It converts it into glucosides. Glucoside is protein. From that, glucoside converts into essential oil. Some people say it's the waste byproduct of the plant. Well, that would be the same as saying that the blood in our body is the waste byproduct of our body. Our body takes in nutrients, converts it to glucoside that converts into protein and goes to feed the cell. The same identical function in the human body that we see in the plant today. And so it makes it a little easier for us to understand why is it that the oils are so effective in the human body? Why do they create such an incredible response? Let's look at a couple of more things that happen. When you cut your finger, it bleeds. Of course, you ruptured the blood capillary. It bleeds so it can cleanse the wound. It bleeds so the antibodies in the blood can kill the microorganism. It bleeds so the nutrients in the blood can come to that damaged tissue and regenerate the tissue and stimulate cell regeneration. The exact same thing happens when you tear the leaf of your plant. How many of you ladies or guys have torn a leaf on your plant and watched the liquid appear? I'm sure many of you have. It happens. And the same reason, the oil is exuded from the plant material so it can kill the microorganism, so it can bring the oxygen and the nutrients there to stimulate the healing.
The other thing that we recognize very quickly in the human body, that the human body is made up of proteins. Every cell in the body, from our toenails to our hair, made up of protein. And of course that is a compound action of various amino acids. We look at the essential oil and we take it apart and we get very excited because we see compounds in there like L-phenylpropane that comes from phenylpropanoids. This is an amino acid structure that is characteristic of L-phenylalanine, tyrotryptophan, tyrosine, and leucine. So our essential oils are made up of amino acids. And that's why when you have damaged tissue, like cutting your finger or burning the skin or whatever, and you put an essential oil on there, it starts an immediate regeneration of the tissue. Because that's the purpose and that's its function that it was created for in the plant. And every characteristic, every molecular structure of that essential oil is designed to function for the purpose of regeneration, immune stimulating or immune protecting, hormone balancing, and nutritional giving. And so we see a complex structure here that is identical in the plant form that what our body requires to function on a daily basis. Years ago I used to say essential oils are medicine and herbs are food. I do not say that anymore today because, number one, let me walk through it for you so you'll understand why I say that essential oils are no longer classified in my terminology as a medicine, but as a food and a medicine. One, essential oils we know contain amino acids. Two, we know that the glucosides in the plant that convert to essential oils are protein. Three, we know that essential oils are co-vitamin A converters, so they will convert various vitamins in the body. Four, essential oils contain trace minerals. Five, essential oils are hormone-like in action and mimic many functions in the body, including neurotransmitters, electrons, protons, and through this action, they stimulate and bring about a neurological balance in the human body. So all of a sudden, we start seeing on the chemistry level of essential oil an action and a function that is so identical-like to the natural function of our body that it's exciting. It can almost be mind-boggling because we have a substance here that was given to us during the creation and we have very little knowledge of it. And yet, if you read in your owner's operator's manual in chapter 1, it talks about the medicine of the plants, and it shall be the first and it shall be last. And so what does that tell us if we really take that scripture apart and analyze it? The essential oils were our medicine in the beginning of time, and they shall be our medicine at the end of times. And what has happened? Our whole world has made this big circle. And we've gone through this thing of evolving with all of the drugs from our pharmaceutical houses and our medical establishment in trying to make discoveries on how to treat diseases. And where are we? Back to square one. Starting over. Yes, modern science has come a long ways in heart transplants, liver transplants, and of course you've all read about the hand transplants that happened just a couple of weeks ago. Very successful in that type of technology, but we've had absolutely zero advancement in the treatment of degenerative diseases. We have people say, oh, we've found a cure for this type of cancer and that type of cancer, but then go talk to the person that they experimented on. One or two things. Either they're not alive to talk about it, or two, they didn't have cancer in the first place when they experimented on them. But what we see that happens every single day is diseases being reversed through the use of plants and plant medicine. And in Europe it's called phytomedicine. We see that the essential oils contain all of the compounds necessary for the reversal of not only disease, but the reversal of the symptomology associated with disease. We see that all tissues can be regenerated from the use of essential oils. And it's not something that's uncommon. It's a very well-known and very well-established thing. In Canada, the U.S., no. In other countries, yes. There are many, many hospitals in Europe and Japan and China that are researching and experimenting with essential oils for treatment. Over 150 hospitals alone in England using essential oils for treating various diseases. Numerous hospitals throughout France, Germany, Switzerland, using essential oils for the treatment of diseases. Many universities doing research. I spent last year 121 study hours at the Anadolu University in Eskişehir, Turkey, studying the chemistry and the complexity of essential oils in the analysis through GC, gas chromatogram, high spectrometry, mass spectrometry analysis. And this is a study that's very, very important in learning the quality of essential oils and analyzing the chemistry structure and better knowing how to use the oils.
Oxygen. How many of us would continue living in the next 30 minutes if oxygen was taken away now? Nobody. Oxygen, the primary molecule of all supporting life. And we know that we're living in an era right now where oxygen has been greatly compromised. We know that our food, our water, everything around us and about us has been tremendously compromised as far as the oxygen ability. And because of that, we start to have a potassium and sodium exchange in the cell because of compromised oxygen. And as a result of that, it sets up our body to be a host for bacteria. And then we can breed bacteria, we can create virus and fungus, and we wonder why we're sick. We come back to this. Essential oils, without question, have been identified now, scientifically documented, to carry the highest level of oxygenating molecules of any substance known to man. But when you recognize that essential oils are made up of the primary element of oxygen, then it helps you understand how it is that the essential oil can give oxygen to the human being, whether you're inhaling it, whether you're rubbing it on, or whether you're taking it as a food supplement. We look at some of the other aspects of essential oils that they have in value to the human body. Essential oils contain minerals. Essential oils contain vitamins and are and do work as co-converters of vitamins in the human body. Essential oils are a catalyst. They carry and deliver nutrients to the tissue of the plant. They carry and deliver nutrients to the tissue of the human being. Why? Because they're made up of oxygen, they're made up of amino acids, and their function is to carry nutrients into the cells of the human body. We can call it a foreordained purpose, perhaps, of the creation. Essential oils also have hormone-like action. For example, in clary sage, we have a compound called sclerol. Sclerol converts to estrogen in the human body. Sclerol mimics estrogen function in the human body. There are multiple things that happen. For example, in fennel oil, we have a compound in fennel oil that mimics the action of hydrochloric acid in the stomach. Fennel oil also will mimic the action of hormones. Essential oils not only have a hormone-like action, they have an enzymatic-like action. So they enhance and promote better digestion as well. Every aspect that you look at the human body, you will see the function of essential oils. We look at the brain, and we find this very important. Why? Because everything transpires right here in the human brain. We have a very intricate system here called the limbic system or the sensory smell system. We breathe the oil molecules through the nasal cavity here. If our mouth is open, we can take it through the buccal cavity, through the neurons, into the smell sensory cortex. From there, it wraps right up over the limbic region and encompasses all of the endocrine glands in the brain. Essential oils will travel through the nasal cavity into this system in less than 1 second. Through inhalation, whether it's through the nose or the mouth. The very moment that it goes through the nasal cavity, that oil passes right between the pineal and the pituitary, and guess what it's doing on its way? It's oxygenating your brain. It's giving oxygen to the pineal and pituitary gland, and here's what happened, folks. The pineal and pituitary gland are responsible for the secretagogues that produce human growth hormone. Now, how many in this room have no interest in being healthy for the next 20 years? This is where it begins, right here. And on that pituitary, there are what we call receptor sites. The receptors are responsible for picking up the signals from the secretagogues and the release of the HGH, the human growth hormone, to put it into the bloodstream to go to the liver so the liver can convert to IGF-1s, insulin-like growth factors, that can go to the pancreas and commingle with progesterone, testosterone, and estrogen for balancing the body's hormone levels. And when that doesn't happen, then we have a compromising all the way through the body, from the brain to the feet. And the first thing to start to compromise, naturally, is immune function. Now, here's what's happening in our society today. We're inhaling chemicals in the air. We're putting chemicals on our hair in shampoo and hair treatments. We're putting chemicals on our body in soap. We're putting chemicals in on our body with perfumes and colognes and aftershave and hairsprays and perms and hair colorings. True or false?
True.
That's not bad enough. Then we go to the sink and we get out the toothpaste and brush our teeth with toxic chemicals. Sodium lauryl sulfate. Alright, where do you think these chemicals are going, folks? They're going right here to the brain. And we wonder why we're brain dead people. You pull up to the stop sign and there's somebody in front of you and the light turns green and they're asleep. Anybody have that experience? What about road rage? What do you think is causing road rage? Do you think road rage just evolved because somebody decided to have road rage? No, it evolved because their brain is confused because of all the toxic chemicals that they've ingested or inhaled into their body. And not only that, it goes into the fat cells in the body, it goes to the ovaries, it goes to the prostate, it goes to the liver, and then you've got ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, lymph cancer, and it just goes on and on and on. These are very real things that are happening. How many of you in this room today would love to have better brain power? Better memory? Better mental stamina? Better memory retention? Absolutely. And the reason we don't have it is because this has been compromised because of the chemical saturation. And we have a very serious problem. How many of you can look at your children, your grandchildren, and see that they're struggling to think, to study, to remember, to comprehend? You give them a task, and they come back 15 minutes later and say, "I don't remember, Dad, what you told me to do." "Well, Mom, I forgot what you wanted me to sew or put in the washing machine."
The other thing that we've just discovered as of the last 4 months in my research, in association with research at UCLA, which has been very exciting, we have found that essential oils have the ability to dissolve chemicals in the brain. We have a major problem in our world today, and it's now being labeled as brain cloud. I call it brain fog, where people can't think, they can't concentrate, they can't focus on what they're doing. I have talked to a professor at BYU for 2.5 hours. I said, "What's your biggest problem with your students in the university?" And he says, "At 10 o'clock, he says, I can't keep them awake. At 3 o'clock, I can't keep them awake. They're failing their tests. They can't concentrate on their exams." And I said, "Yes, because your students have brain fog." And he said, "Well, what does that mean?" And I says, "Okay, how many of your students come in the morning and they're, ah, and they got their books under their arm and they got a can of Coke in their hand or a can of Pepsi in their hand. They're reaching for that sugar, that caffeine stimulant to wake them up, to try to get them stimulated. They've got a can of Coke sitting on their desk all day long through class because they cannot stay awake, they can't concentrate, they can't focus, and they're scattered." And he said, "You're absolutely right." And he says, "I see more of it." He says, "Now that you mention it, I see more and more of it happening every single day." He said, "It's getting worse and worse." He's been a professor for 30 years at BYU. I said, "It's because they have brain fog. The chemicals are going to the brain, plugging the receptor sites, and we can't respond. We're a dying people. Our immune systems are shutting down because the receptors around the pituitary are responsible for the human growth hormone and supposed to take it out in the body for the conversion. And so these things are very, very important to us. We're dying because our immune systems are shutting down prematurely. The essential oils not only digest and dissolve these chemicals, but stimulate the anterior pituitary, the pineal gland, to produce the secretagogues for supporting human growth hormone and immune function.
How many of you know how high the suicide rate has risen in North America in the past 5 years? It is astronomical, and it's getting worse and worse. We have a major problem on our hands, and we need to wake up. That's why I say and will continue to say essential oils are the missing link of modern medicine. When we look at the brain, two things have just been discovered in the last 4 months. Essential oils have the ability to digest chemicals in the human body. Essential oils have the ability to go in and clean the receptor sites on the anterior pituitary. Essential oils have the ability to go in and stimulate the secretagogues for producing human growth hormone and IgA and antibodies for thyroid support. Essential oils have the ability to go in and stimulate neurotransmitters for improving neurological function. Essential oils have the ability to go in and stimulate enzymatic activity in the human body for better digestive secretion, better digestive function. Essential oils have the ability to go in and mimic and produce naturally hormones in the body that are deficient because we don't have them. Why do we not have them? Why do we have an outbreak of PMS? Why do we have an outbreak of premenopausal depression? and postmenopausal depression. Why are we having all of these things? Why are our young girls, 13, 14, 15 years old, having painful periods, irregular periods? It is because of the chemical saturation that's going on. Why is it that this world has the highest incident of infertility than the world has ever seen since the beginning of time today? Because of the chemical saturation. All right? Why are we having birth defects at a higher rate than this world has ever seen before? Because the way we live, what we eat, what we drink, and what we're breathing. And if we want it to be different, we have to change it here first with ourselves. When we know that essential oils can be diffused in the atmosphere of our own home, and you can breathe them in, and they go through the nasal cavity, the buccal cavity, and go into the smell sensory cortex, and clear the chemicals out of the brain, what do you think is going to happen? How many of you got to experience the oil that I shared today called Brain Power? How many of you felt a difference from it? What'd you feel?
More awake.
More awake. What'd you feel? More awake. What'd you feel?
More awake.
Well, isn't that exciting just to think smelling one drop of oil can awaken the brain and the entire body? Absolutely. Why? Because it carries so much oxygen. Let's go to frankincense and we'll understand perhaps why. I don't know how many are familiar with the frankincense tree. This old gentleman here is cutting the resin off because it is the resin that's distilled to make the oil. We look at this beautiful tree here, found in southern Arabia, in Oman and Yemen, but predominant in Oman. That tree exudes a resin that looks like milk. When it crystallizes in the air, it hardens in 2 weeks and is harvested. The crystals are distilled into oil. That resin was, at the time between 26 BC and 300 AD, the most precious commodity in the world market. And the city of Ad, which is now called the lost city of Ubar, at that time was the richest city in the world, and it controlled the entire world trade market for frankincense and myrrh. And it was from this city in Oman that the three magi took the frankincense and myrrh to the Christ child at Bethlehem. Frankincense at that time was only used in the royal palaces by the kings and the queens. The kings used frankincense and the queens used myrrh. And why did they do that? Because the queens gave birth. And the myrrh is antiseptic, it's anti-infectious, it's antibacterial, it's antifungal. And they would put it on the umbilical cord of the newborn. They would rub it around the perineum of the mother because it not only stopped infection, but it promoted tissue regeneration. And so if the mother tore, today we do an episiotomy, but they didn't do episiotomies in those days. And so the myrrh was put there to stop the infection and stimulate the regeneration of that damaged tissue. The frankincense was rubbed all over the newborn son or the newborn king or queen, and for the simple reason that they believed that frankincense drove away all evil deities. Well, evil deities are the cause of disease, and they knew that, but they called them evil spirits. Well, they are an evil spirit. There's nothing good about cancer or AIDS or arthritis. So they would rub frankincense all over this newborn child, and it protected their immune system and created a protection there and brought them closer to God, because they believed that the child was anointed, then it was readily accepted by God. And so there was an incredible thing that took place there. And yet these people also, and it's written here in this article, frankincense was known to cure every disease known to man, from gout to a broken head. Every single disease, regardless of what it was, every disease. And so you read in the Bible, and it talks about frankincense, the holy anointing oil. The ancient people used it for thousands of years, and we are still wondering what to do with it. And what we've been doing with it as of recent has been burning it as an incense. Okay, well, that was a tradition that was used a lot, is burning the frankincense resin. And they use it that way since the beginning of time, but as well the oil. Second, it's used as a perfume because we've never looked at the real value of it. Let's go to modern science and see what Dr. Daniel Penowell, an MD, and Pierre Francoma, a PhD in chemistry, in their research study in Paris, discovered with frankincense. When they took it apart, they found the chemical compounds that are very, very important and are the active ingredients in the frankincense.
This concludes the recording on this side of the cassette. To continue the program, fast forward to the end of the tape and turn the cassette over.
Alpha pinene.